C6. Number 9B.
To the lower right, there is no other diagonal. You can see that we can't make a diagonal from the upper right, say, to the lower left, because that would not be a diagonal. And why not? Because the diagonal must give the essence of the matrix. The matrix is what? Is a matrix of Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, of the calculus. The essence of the calculus you only get in the diagonal, namely Word as Word. See, it stresses the Word in its own aspect. Then the Christ in its own aspect, Christ as Christ. Then Christianity as Christianity, stressing its own aspect, and science as science, stressing again its own aspect. And you can see that if we would consider another kind of diagonal, which is not possible, namely going out from the upper right and going down to the lower left here, you would see that what you would get is not a strong calculus. You would have Christ as Word, and then afterwards you would have Christianity as Christ, and then Christ as Christianity, and then Word as Science. You see, we wouldn't really get the accentuation of the calculus. So don't try to find out something more than there is in the matrix. There is only one diagonal, no matter how much one would like to draw another diagonal. We cannot play with these things. They must have understanding and the reason for doing things. But you can see that in the diagonal of a matrix, we accentuate really the calculus, therefore the indices. The index here is stressed. And actually, when we just would go through this diagonal quickly, we would see the important aspects of the whole teaching of Christian Science. Namely, we would get what? We will get prayer, which would say we can only have the nature of God revealed to us if we approach that God in God's own nature, if we accept actually God's own nature in us. Then you would come to the next one, Christ as Christ, which would say, oh yes, if you accept God's nature as your nature, then this would transform your false constituents of being into the right constituents of being within you. You would suddenly find within you a terrific exchange, a terrific overturning taking place, that in place of the wrong constituents of being, the right constituents of being would take place. And if those take place, then you come on the diagonal to Christianity as Christianity, which would tell us then, if that takes place completely, then this would bring about demonstration. It would lift your life out of a wrong, dead Christianity into the Christianity of ideas. And so some objections answered would put away all the objections and bring forth demonstration. Demonstration of what? And you go further along the diagonal and you come to the 16th chapter, Apocalypse, Science as Science, which would say the demonstration of what? The demonstration that the idea of principle is at work in everything that is going on. There is nothing between heaven and hell that is not under the impact of principle's own idea. And you would feel, oh, well, then I got it. Then nothing is ever going on but principle. So this is the reduction, so to say, of the whole matrix to its essential.
Yes.
Well, do we have now a right matrix? There is still something missing in that matrix. What is still missing? It's still missing that we have not defined really about now help me in the English about what the that matrix is about.
To define
what is the subject of the matrix. Thank you. As easy as that it is. Yes. What is really the subject of the matrix? We superficially said it is the matrix of the textbook. But can you see that this is actually not the matrix of a textbook? Because textbook is not an idea of being. A textbook is a book representing an idea. So we cannot say we make really a matrix of the textbook, because we must make a matrix and see conceive of the matrix as a matrix of a great spiritual idea or subject, a spiritual subject. The textbook is not the spiritual subject. It must be a matrix about one of the main categories of being.
So
what is it? I think it's very clear that it is Christian Science.
Therefore,
actually, we should put on the upper left corner there, where you have that slanted line with the calculus, we really should put Christian Science.
Something
like that. Christian Science. That's the subject of the matrix.
Why
is it the matrix of Christian Science?
Well,
Mrs. Eddy said that her textbook is the Christian Science textbook.
Therefore, it
is not the divine science textbook.
It is actually not
the science textbook, if we think in terms of the levels of consciousness. What Mrs. Eddy presents here is actually her discovery, which she denominated Christian Science,
and in
that denominated term Christian Science is included the absolute sense of Christian Science and the relative sense of Christian Science, and those two together are forming the two indices of the matrix of Christian Science.
We
naturally have that difficulty that Mrs. Eddy uses actually the term Christian Science in two ways, namely as a name for her discovery, and on the other side we know that she uses Christian Science as a standpoint within the various levels of science, just as she uses absolute Christian Science, divine science, and science itself.
So,
what she presents here are those two calculi, the two, what is the plural of calculus? Calculi.
So the two calculi,
the calculus in the absolute sense, and the calculus in the relative sense,
giving therefore the saving mission
of Christian Science by showing how the absolute calculus has its impact on the human by bringing about in the human a transformation so that the divine calculus is reigning.
If we have done
this, then I think we have a complete matrix.
Now,
some of you may remember that actually we have many similar matrices.
We
think, and I'm still talking in the tentative way,
we still think that,
for instance, the 16 prophets have given us also a 4x4 matrix.
Also a calculus
in the absolute sense and a calculus in the relative sense.
But there the subject was not Christian Science.
Therefore the subject was the Christ.
So we had up on the upper corner, instead of Christian Science, we had the Christ.
You remember?
Therefore, because the subject was different than in the matrix we have now in front of us, because the subject was the Christ, therefore we had as our indices
the calculus in the absolute sense and the calculus in the relative sense.
We had there completely different elements, different accentuations of word, Christ, Christianity, and science.
Can you remember that?
Therefore, and also here on the index J, we had completely different epitomes for the word, Christ, Christianity, and science.
Therefore, can you see that it is the subject, which in a matrix is called the big A, that the subject here determines which aspect of word, Christ, Christianity, and science is accentuated.
And the moment we change this matrix and have another matrix, a Christianity matrix, like we have it in the epistles,
There again, we see that the 16 epistles are built up according to the 4x4 matrix.
But there again, because there is the Christianity matrix, because there we have up here in the upper left level corner, Christianity.
Therefore, our epitome for the calculus, for the word, Christ, Christianity, and science, were again different.
Then in the Christ matrix. In other words, we cannot just choose any epitome for these four elements.
They are defined by the subject.
Are you quite sure what I say?
Is it quite clear?
Oh, it's so clear that it doesn't move you anymore.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think I have been treating that subject on matrix and matrices very clearly in that summer school in Wilmington in 1974, and it's all taped, and I still feel that if somebody would like to be really well versed in the meaning of matrix, those tapes are really giving a very full answer.
And I think it really should be understood now by the students.
So I come back to
What's the good of it now?
What is the value of reducing a whole textbook, the whole teaching of Christian science in this case, to a matrix?
Why not leave the text as it is and read those 600 pages from time to time?
What's the good of seeing the structure of that textbook in its matrix form?
And now, perhaps we can, already this matrix, we can perhaps better understand what I want to say at the beginning when I was introducing matrix work, and just go quickly through the main advantages that we have when considering a subject in a matrix form.
The characteristics are, for instance, that a complicated subject can be expressed simply.
This is the great point.
That 600 pages, which you read, where you never know what you have actually read two or three pages before,
where you read the whole textbook and never quite know what you have been reading all about,
The matrix helps us to reduce such a complicated subject to simplicity.
It is laid out on one page instead of 600 pages. But it is, and this is important, if the matrix is done rightly, that's naturally always the condition, that we find in a matrix an abstraction of the subject, a simplification of the subject, without falsification, without that we make up something which is not there.
So though we abstract, we do not falsify the subject.
We can see that the matrix represents complex relationships. If we know how to read a matrix, we can read that matrix in many ways.
We can read that matrix vertically.
We can read that matrix naturally also horizontally.
We can just start out by the word horizontally and say, it is accepting the proposition, and say, what kind of proposition do I have to accept?
And you flow through horizontally and see that it is the proposition of the word, the Christ and Christianity and science that we have to accept.
And without that acceptance, nothing is going to happen.
It can be read diagonally, it can be read also by taking one point of intersection and see what is before that point of intersection, what are the prerequisites, what other subject does a chapter lead to.
So one can really read a matrix in many ways.
But that would take a lot of time to go through. But that's something each one will have to get used to.
A matrix helps us to get a gain of insight.
You have this matrix in front of you.
You get a terrific insight in one view.
Just poring over it for a few minutes, and you have a whole overview of the whole textbook.
You know now what it is all about. A further point of great interest is that it helps us to begin to think in categorical thinking.
No more in atomistic thinking, that we are not jumping from principle to ideas, but that we are leading thought from principle to categories, and begin to read much more and think much more in categories, in relations, and in structure.
A matrix has another great advantage, namely that it helps us to remember the subjects. If you know the indices, you can know exactly what is in each chapter. You don't have to remember it. It's a great memory support. And all those people, and I am among them, also who say, well, I can't remember everything. I don't have a very good memory. And actually, I don't want to have a good memory. For those, a matrix is a wonderful memory support because it helps you to deduce from the indices very easily, very naturally, without difficulty, every point of intersection, and therefore every subject. So it is a great memory support.
Furthermore,
it is a great steering mechanism.
It steers thought.
You see, when you come to any point, like, say, creation, where you say, well, what is creation? And you say, well, in Christian Science, creation is of the nature of idea, of infinite idea, of boundless ideas. Then the matrix acts at once as a steering mechanism and says, don't stay there. I steer you to the next important point which you must see about this creation of idea. It steers us at once to the next one, to Christianity as Christ, and says, and these ideas have a Christ, and they begin to work, and they are ideas that will dissolve illusions. And so this matrix is a guide for our thinking and helps us not to forget important aspects of any subject. It takes in through that representation as a matrix, takes in every aspect, and as it is easy to be overseen, overseen? Have a big view of it.
An overall view.
That is. Thank you. As it helps us to have always the overall view, we can always spot where we are and therefore guide our thought to the next step. A very important point is that the matrix helps us for structure recognition. If we are, and I hope we'll feel that now in the next few days, that if we are imbibed the fundamentals, the matrix structure of the textbook, that will help us to detect much easier any other structure in the textbook and of any other subject. Because what we have within our consciousness, that is what is reading the text, and therefore is detecting in the text or in the whole world structures. You can see that it is a creative, that it is very creative, a matrix. It is creative because it leads and steers thought to new ideas. It forces thought to go further than where one is and say, but next comes another point of intersection. There must be another point of intersection. And it forces thought to be creative and to be led constantly on and on and on. Therefore, it is really helping our evolutive thinking. It doesn't just, you see, like when we memorize something that is not evolutive, that is statements. You remember a statement and you repeat that statement and you leave it at that and say, that's a wonderful statement. A matrix says, this is a wonderful statement, but it leads you to the next one. And therefore is evolutive. It has a great drive within it that says, go on, see further, see more.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, these are, I would say, the great characteristics of a matrix, and you can see that it is really a terrific help for understanding the completeness, the wholeness of a subject, and it's actually adapted to that system thinking, and not to the atomistic thinking.
Yes.
Yes.
That clear?
You are not allowed to say no.
Okay.
So we stop here for a few minutes to change the reels, and then I start with a completely new subject.